Real Talk Real Muslims is a podcast by two young Muslims who talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of life as a young Muslim today.
Welcome back to Real Talk Real Muslims, a podcast where we share our experiences as first-generation American Muslims and where we aim to connect with other young Muslims to let them know that they are not alone in their struggles. This is Rawan.
And this is Rand. So guys, this is like our fourth time recording because we decided that it would be a great idea to wake up early and go to a park to record because we've been recording on Zoom and it's just like not been, you know, working out. So we go to the park really early and then you see that there's kids there. And I'm like, me and Rawan are like, wait, who wakes up this early? And then this guy's cutting the lawn. And then we're like, who cuts the lawn this early? And then it gets a bit later and then everyone's doing their morning workout.
Literally, we started and recorded like four different times. And then we got up and we moved somewhere. We drove to a different place because it is ridiculous. And all of the libraries that we usually record at that are quiet are closed.
Yeah. Because, like, I think Corona is kind of discriminatory because everything's open except the libraries.
Yeah, it's not like the libraries are closed because we're, like, some noble state and we're doing our part. No. Everything is open. Literally everything looks normal and everyone is, like, out and about.
And playing on the playgrounds.
Yeah, but the libraries aren't open, of course.
Yeah, but of course we were still, like, socially distanced from the people because we're not about to get Corona.
Yeah, and sit with the other people.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're also doing a couple of new things. So first of all, we're going to be on TikTok at Real Talk Real Muslim.
Yeah.
And we're going to be posting like behind the scenes of us recording and just like little fun tidbits. So follow us on TikTok.
You should really tune in for today's TikTok because it's just like chaos.
Yeah, we're going to show you guys the chaos that we were talking about at the beginning of this episode. Mm-hmm. And also, we are starting to videotape while we record. So if you follow us on our social media, you'll be able to see the recordings of us doing our podcast. Mm-hmm. And we will also be posting them to YouTube as well.
Yeah.
So those are just two exciting new updates that we want to share with you guys. So make sure to check out our YouTube channel and our TikTok. And then we will be posting snippets of our videos on Instagram and Facebook as well.
Yeah. So if you just follow us on Instagram, we're going to put all the information for the TikTok and for the YouTube. I think I'm really excited about the TikTok. Because now I have a purpose to, like, you know, just scroll through TikTok for hours.
But yeah, I feel like we also haven't sat down recording in a long time because we wanted to take some space and kind of take a minute to educate ourselves and to acknowledge the Black Lives Matter movement that has really taken off across the world. And also to just acknowledge the systemic oppression of Black people that has really been brought to the forefront of national and international news.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like very overwhelming. And I say this from a lot of privilege, not being a Black person who experiences this every day. And it's been overwhelming for me. So I can't even imagine like being a Black person who has to go through this every single day of your life. And it's just been like a lot of like horrible injustices that have been happening for a really long time.
Yeah. I think especially when people are not like taking into consideration what Black people are going through or brushing it off very lightly because they don't experience it. I think that's like one of the big problems that we have in our society. If you're not experiencing something, you just brush it off really lightly. Or, you know, like during this time, I was like, wow, we're so privileged that we can just shut off whatever's going on because it's not happening to us directly.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it's important for us to kind of, like, be acknowledging it and to actively be working against that system and, like, dismantling it.
Yeah.
So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about racism in the Muslim community. And obviously, we can't speak on behalf of Black people and talk about, like, how we've personally experienced anti-Black racism in the Muslim community. But we're going to be talking about, like, what we've seen people do to others and what we can do as a community to help improve them. So, again, not speaking on behalf of anyone because we will never understand the Black experience. So it's not fair for us to say that.
I think, like, the first thing that we need to do, of course, like you said, we're never going to, like, be able to experience what Black people go through. And we'll never be able to fully understand it, even though we can try as much as we want. We can be educated as much as we want. But, like, experiencing something firsthand is, you know, very different. But it is, like, you're right. The first thing that we need to do is acknowledge that it happens in our communities and try to get those people that don't acknowledge it to start seeing it. Because I feel like a bunch of things that happen in our community are, like, very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're just so normal that you don't even think that they're problematic. which is the big problem.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing, like, we need to talk about is, of course, Rowan and I come from Arab culture, so that's going to be where we get our, like, information from or, like, our experiences from. But I don't think this is only in the Arab cultures. It happens in all cultures, and I've seen it, like, on social media or from my other friends that are not a part of the Arab cultures. They also see it in their mm-hmm. communities. So first of all, we're going to talk about, like, racism in our Arab cultures, racism towards other Arabs, and just the different things that happen and the things that we need to start noticing and fixing.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like, so not only are Arabs, like, not only do some Arabs, like, harbor racism towards people not in their culture, but we hold it towards Arabs within our own culture, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Arabs of different nationalities, mm-hmm. like, we discriminate against Arabs from different countries. And Arabs have, like, a very strong sense of, like,
me.
Yeah, like, themselves and, like, national pride mm-hmm. and, like, you and your country are the best and, like, no one, like, equals you. Like, Arabs just tend to think that way.
Yeah.
And it's a really problematic view because it makes Arabs think of other, like, cultures, like, as inferior.
Yeah.
And we see this a lot, like, in our media, too, as yeah. Arabs.
I think it's not a problem if you have national pride, but you're not, like, first of all, shoving it down someone else's throat.
Yeah.
Second of all, like, you know, making it that you're superior. You can be proud that you're Jordanian or Egyptian or whatever, but then keeping that to yourself.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like you said, like, in our media, it's very present, especially because, like, sometimes I'll watch, like, Arab shows. They're not that entertaining, so don't waste your time. But you can see it, like, if the show is a majority, let's say, like, one nationality, the minority nationality or, like, the actor always gets, like, the not so good of a role. Like, maybe they'll be the taxi driver or the person that's guarding the building or whatever, because, like, in Arab countries, we have that where, like, you, let's say, you live in a building and then there's someone guarding it. Yeah. So they'll get that job. Or, like, they won't be that big of an influence in the show. Or if they're an influence, they'll be showing, like, the influence of them doing something not so good from their culture or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. And, like, in shows and stuff, they'll be, like, oh, you know, they'll call someone by their nationality as, like, an insult.
Yeah.
And even in real life, like, mm-hmm. if someone is, like, Jordanian, they'll be like, oh, like, that Egyptian. Or yeah. if someone is Egyptian, they'll be like, oh, like, that Syrian. Like, it's, like, an insult to call
yeah,
someone.
Yeah, I've heard that. Like, in Jordan, like, there's a big population of Egyptians living there. So I've seen, like, most of the time, the Egyptian doesn't have that. It's, like, the jobs that the Jordanians don't want because mm-hmm. it's their country and they get, like, the bougie jobs. And then the, you know, the immigrants or whatever, they get, like, the jobs that the rest of the people don't want, which is, like, the same thing that you see in the United States.
Yeah.
And then the people also have the thing of, oh, they're taking our jobs. I feel like that's just very prevalent everywhere. But, yeah, like, they'll be like, yeah, that Egyptian or that Syrian or something like that. And they'll be like, yeah, they're just, like, everywhere. And I'm like, man,
yeah,
this country.
And even, like, within the country itself, like, people discriminate against each other. Like, this isn't necessarily, like, racism, like, based on, like, the, someone's skin color, but it's based on, like, there's, like, a sense of superiority, which I think, like, is, like, part of xenophobia, which leads to racism.
Mm-hmm.
But between, like, city and, like, rural areas,
yeah,
like, my dad's family is from a really rural area in Egypt, and, like, when I would talk to my friends or other people that lived in, like, the city or, like, the urban part, they would always just kind of, like, make fun of the way people lived in, like, the rural areas or, like, make fun of the way they dressed or the way they talked. And you could just tell there was, like, such a sense of superiority between people yeah. that lived in the city and people that lived in, like, the countryside. And these are all, like, really problematic things that we have in our culture mm-hmm. because it's, like, promoting this idea that you're superior based on, like, some superficial, like, societal standard.
Yeah. Also, like, I was thinking about it. So I was trying to, like, think of reasons why, let's say, people from the city feel superior over people of the rural area. And I was talking to my mom about it. So I was like, okay, like, I've heard people talk about, like, the way people dress. Like, that's a big thing. They're like, oh, they dress differently. Okay, whatever. And then they talk about the way that they speak, maybe,
mm-hmm.
The stuff that they maybe eat. And then I was like, there's actually no concrete reason.
And this also happens within the same country, but also based off of skin color.
Mm-hmm.
So in Arab culture, there's like this huge idea of colorism. And I know this exists in other cultures as well, because like my friends from other cultures have said that it does.
Mm-hmm.
But colorism, basically like prejudice or discrimination against someone with a darker skin tone, and it typically is among someone of the same ethnic or racial group, is like huge in Arab culture. And we've touched on this in previous episodes, but like things like Fair and Lovely and like skin whitening creams are so huge in Arab culture. And even within, like, Egypt is in Africa, so there's like this huge range of skin tones of Egyptian people. Like, my dad has super super dark skin, but my mom has like really light in Egypt, especially because the skin tones, there's such a huge range of skin color. There's like a ton of colorism, and people with white skin are viewed as like better and more beautiful, which is extremely problematic.
I feel like, yeah, that's the same thing in Jordan. I think also it happens from the sun.
Yeah.
Like my grandfather, he's like darker, and like he hears about it from like other family members, and it's like, why are you talking about someone's skin tone? Like, it's none of your business. But yeah, I've seen Fair and Lovely in Jordan. I don't understand influencers that like promote Fair and Lovely or any skincare. I mean, like skin whitening creams. I think it's ridiculous. But I've also seen, like, if you've noticed, like, most of the famous people are very, like, light-skinned. You don't see a lot of dark Egyptian actors, right?
Yeah, literally, like, there's so few Egyptian actors, especially women. Like, there's very few women who are dark-skinned and are Egyptian actresses. And I know a lot of times, like, I would be watching shows with my family, like, Egyptian shows, and every time the light-skinned actress would come on, everyone would be like, Oh my God, so wow, she's so gorgeous, she's so pretty. And the girl with the light skin is always the one who's, like, the love interest. It's never, like, the girl with the dark skin. And then whenever, like, the girl with the dark skin will come off, like, I would be watching it with members of my family or people that I knew, and they would be like, oh, yeah, like, she's not that pretty. That, like, why is she an actress? Allah. Like, you know, it was just, like, so horrible and so racist. And there was so much colorism, even just when you're sitting and watching a show with other people. And, yeah, just pay attention next time you watch any Arab show, like,
Arab show, like, watch any show from your culture and just notice the diversity in skin color. You won't see a lot.
Yeah, there's not a lot of it, because they view, like, only light-skinned people as pretty. And even, like, in songs, they always say, like, oh, like, I want a girl who's, like, light-skinned and who has white skin. Like, they literally say that in songs.
And colored eyes.
Yeah, and people will sing that song and they don't view it as problematic, mm-hmm. because it's just, like, it's kind of how, like, in American songs, when people say the N-word, they're like, oh, it's not bad because it's just a song. But obviously, it's horrible, and it's an extremely racist and derogatory term that no one should say, no matter if it's in a song or if it's in just a normal conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, like in Arab songs, it's just kind of like within the song, so no one thinks anything of it.
Yeah. I was listening to this podcast. It's really good. It's called Yalla Bye. But they were talking about, like, also music in general. Like, this is kind of off topic, but, like, I feel like this is also another episode, but just, like, listening closely to the lyrics, they're just things that you wouldn't say in everyday life that are very, like, offensive to people, but it's very okay in songs, and
mm-hmm.
I think that's another aspect that we need to start changing in, because, like, that's what our youth listen to, and even adults or whatever, like, that's where we waste so much time listening to, like, music or watching shows or whatever, but you don't feel represented, or you're not getting the right message from them. I was also, watching this video on Instagram, and it was by this lady. Her name is Maryam Abu Khalid, and the video just, like, it was like a slap on the face. Like, I swear, I was, like, watching it, and I was like, oh my God, like, I've heard everything that she's talking about. And basically, a bunch of people were mad because she spoke about, like, the Black Lives Matter movement, and she was saying, like, she's Arab, so she was like, Arab need to do a better job with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bunch of people in her comments were like, you're talking about the racism that happens in Arab countries and you're comparing it to the racism that happens in the United States. They were like, at least people in Arab countries don't get killed based off of their skin color. And I just thought, like, that's so wrong, because at the end of the day, it's the same racism that's going on, you know? Like, it still needs to be stopped. Like, you can't make excuses about, oh, like, you're not getting killed in your country or whatever, because I'm pretty sure that probably happens. There's just not enough media there.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, there's a lot of racism that happens very subtly. And she was talking about some, like, jokes and stuff that she's heard. We talked about this in our other episode when we were talking about what, like, girls experience, but she was saying, like, she was hanging out with her friend, and they were going out in the sun. They were, like, going to play outside. So her mom was, like, to the other girl, she was like, make sure you don't take too long outside, like, in the sun, because you're going to become dark like Mariam, okay? Like, she's making it seem like because Mariam's dark, there's something wrong with her.
Yeah.
Like, imagine as a little child, she was talking about her hearing all of this as she, like, when she was a child. Obviously, it builds the character, like, when you hear it so much, it affects your character, or, like, it affects you. But I don't think people think about that.
Yeah. And, like, when I was younger, like, my family would say that to me all the time. And I don't think I realized, like, how, like, actually kind of traumatic and, like, horrible it was until I got older. But my family would always, always, always tell me, like, don't play outside for too long because you're going to get too dark. And naturally, I would get darker in the summer, like, just because the nature of my skin tone is that I tan really easily and I get darker, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And my family would, like, make fun of me for getting darker when I was outside. And I was, like, 6 years old, guys. Like, 6 years old, and my family's telling me, like, you're ugly because you got too dark playing outside.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was younger, like, I used to literally look at white people and be like, oh, my God, like, I wish I looked like them. Like, I wish I didn't have, like, curly hair, and I wish I didn't have dark skin. And I just hate that on top of me, like, having that insecurity, it was something that was brought upon me by my own family. And to be honest, like, I thought that, like, getting darker was, like, a problem, like, it was bad for me up until I think I was in, like, early high school. And then I started realizing that, like, that was just something that was shoved down my throat by my family and by the people around me. And even one of me and Ren's friends, like, would always, like, go through that too. Like, everyone would be like, oh, like, she's so dark, like, don't play outside, like, you're gonna get dark. And it's just horrible, guys, that, like, your own family is telling you that, and is telling you that, like, you're not pretty enough, or you're not as beautiful as other people because you have darker skin.
Yeah.
So I know, like, for me, that's made me, like, when I grow up and, like, when I have kids, like, first of all, I will never, ever, ever, like, tell them that. And I will never tell them that something that is beyond their control makes them ugly, or even something in their control. Like, you just shouldn't be telling your kids that they are ugly for any reason. Like, yeah. It really, and especially for girls, like, we talked about this before it ends, right? Like, confidence in girls. We did an episode on, like, how to have confidence. And it destroyed, like, girls' self-esteem are always destroyed by society.
Yeah, I was about to tell you that. Yeah, like, I was, when we start having these conversations, I feel like sometimes, like, especially when, not when everything started happening, because this has been happening for so long.
Yeah.
But when it started coming to our attention, I was just like, wow, society acts like it's so perfect and everything's so nice and we're in 2020 and we're so open-minded. And but we, like, skip over everything that we've grown up with that's, like, made us have, like, these prejudices against, like, people with darker skin tone or whatever. And it's just, like, really upsetting to see where we've come as a society, and we act like we're so, like, we're so, what is it?
Open-minded. Yeah. And, like, we're so welcoming. And, like, it's 2020. There's no way we think
like
that.
Yeah, no. No, there's a way we think that. Also, she was saying in her video, like, this one, I swear to God, I've heard it. And I'm ashamed to say that I've heard it and, like, didn't say anything about it. But because I didn't think of it, I just, like, brushed it off. She was saying when she used to go to the pool with her friend, they would, people were sitting there. They didn't know she could speak Arabic. So they were like, you think when that girl, because she's black, do you think when that girl goes into the pool, because you know how, like, the pool has chlorine or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think her skin will get lighter?
Oh, my God.
Because it'll get bleached?
That's hilarious.
And
that's,
I was horrible. Like, I've heard that in front of me happen, and I just didn't say anything or whatever, because these things are just, like, jokes, or, like, they're socially acceptable. But I don't know. Like, I just think it's, like, we've grown up with so many things that you just think are normal, but you don't, how could have that affected her? Like, that could have, I mean, it has affected her. She was saying, like, all these things have affected me so much. Yet, you know, my friend's mom or whatever, she doesn't care because she's just protecting her daughter. Like, she thinks if she's telling her, you know, don't play in the sun for too long, she's protecting her. But she doesn't understand that she's hurting me.
Yeah. And I just hate how, like, society always loves to comment on how women look. Like, literally all of society revolves around sexualizing women's bodies and trying to control how women look, feel, act, talk. And at the end of the day, we try and, like, fight these things from outside, and we're like, no, and we're, like, calling people out around us. But at the end of the day, yeah, it happens, like, within our own household and within
woman on woman too.
Yeah, and it comes from people that we like love and trust, you know. I think that's something that we don't realize is that oftentimes like the things that have hurt us most growing up didn't come from people that we didn't know, but it comes from people that we did know, and it came from our own families. So as we try and like reverse like systems of racism, there's obviously like two big ways. Like one is like the systemic racism and like dismantling like the laws and the way that our school system and, you know, the police and what we give money towards in our society. We need to like change and get rid of all those systems, obviously. Mm-hmm. But then there's also like the racism that harbors like inside of ourselves and inside of our own communities. And if you don't start looking within your own household first, then it's never going to change. And mm-hmm. I'm saying this like as something I need to fix in my own household, because up until today, and I'm like grown, 20 years old, and my family still like makes fun of me for having dark skin. Yeah. And when I call them out and I'm like now I understand that, okay, this is like a product of the racism that exists in our communities and I need to call it out. And it still like doesn't get across to them. So
yeah, they don't get it. They think you're just being, especially
extra.
Yeah, you're being extra. Thanks, Dawan. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Even with, I was telling my dad about like we talked about this, I think in the other episode, but like saying abid.
Yeah.
Like, you just hear it all the time. Like, in Jordan, like, you hear it all the time. So, I was telling my dad, I was like,
which, by the way, guys, sorry, it means slave, in Arabic.
Yeah, so that's what people call, like, black people in Jordan. They say, like, abid, but it, like, means slave. Like,
yeah, terrible. It literally translates to slave, but they use it to call someone a black person. Like, the way we say, oh, like, there is a girl over there, and she's my friend, and she's black. That's how Arabs refer to black people, and it literally translates to slave.
Yeah. And so, like, I was talking to him about it, and he was like, yeah, that's really wrong. But then he was like, yeah, but everyone says it. Yeah, well, that's the problem. Everyone says it. Everyone exactly. thinks it's normal, so that's why we should change it. And then they just think you're being dramatic about things. But yeah. It's just, like, it shouldn't be socially acceptable.
Yeah. Like, once, guys, I was sitting with my family at the dinner table, and someone said something, like, really racist. Like, it was, like, some – and it was a phrase. I don't even remember exactly what it was. Otherwise, I would share it. But – anyway, someone said something really racist, and I got really mad because I was just, like, so sick of it. And my family always tells me that I'm extra about stuff like this. And they're like, Rowan, like, don't think that you, like, you're, like, all that because you can, like, you call us out for stuff like that. Yeah. Like, they think I'm being, like, a snot. And so I called them, whoever my family said it, I think it was my brother, and I got in a fight with my whole family, and literally everyone was yelling at me. And they're like, you're so rude, blah, 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 because I was calling him out for saying something racist. And then I got up. And I left the dinner table. And I remember I got in a fight with my whole family that day, and they wouldn't talk to me for, like, the entire next day because I called them out for saying that. But honestly, for me, I'm like, if that's what it takes, like, if it takes, like, me having, like, a conversation with my family that they don't like and that's tough, mm-hmm. then I'm okay with that because at the end of the day, like, I'm really privileged that that's kind of, like, the extent of it, or, like, that someone's going to call me dark-skinned. You know, I'm still, at the end of the day, not black, and I don't have to experience that.
Yeah.
And also, it reminded me of this one time. There's this influencer on Instagram. Her name is Habiba Da Silva,
mm-hmm.
and she's really cool. Like, she has a really great sense of style. She has a hijab line. She's super awesome. And once she posted a picture, and she had gone on a, like, PR trip, I think, to Nigeria, and she posted a picture, and she was wearing a white dress, and she... Oh. Had like tanned a lot, and so her skin was really dark, and she looked like so beautiful. And the comments on that picture, guys, she made a YouTube video about it too. I don't remember what the video was called, but if you like look her up on YouTube, you'll probably find it. But she made a video about the amount of racism that went on in the comments, and I remember seeing the post, and like the comments were disgusting. Like, people were like, oh my god, you're so ugly, you're so dark. And it was literally, like, the worst thing ever to just see people publicly comment on someone's Instagram post how ugly she was because she got dark.
Okay, like, this is ridiculous. And, like, you know how you were saying about having the conversation with your family? No, I agree with you. I think whenever you try to talk about, like, people that you love or whatever, about things that you think are wrong, they just take it very, like, they get defensive because they think that you're insulting them. But it's like, I'm not insulting you. I'm telling you what I think we should fix together. I don't think they get that. Also, that wearing white, people will tell you about a bunch of colors you can't wear because of your skin tone.
Yeah, it's like a list of colors.
Yeah. Like, I haven't experienced this, but, like, you know, like, I've heard my friends or whatever, like, you know, don't wear light colors because it brings out whatever your face color is, or, like, if you're dark or whatever. Which, first of all, no, it's none of your business to tell people what to wear, and they can look however they want to. And also, like, I feel like we should move into... like, as a society, we should stop looking at people's outside appearances and start looking inside, because literally the people that tell you about Odawan, like, don't wear white or whatever, obviously there's something in their heart that's not pure, and they need to focus on themselves instead of telling you what you should wear, yeah, or telling the influencers what they should wear, yeah, or telling any black girl that she's too dark or whatever. Like, obviously the problem is with you and not with them, so you should go fix yourself.
Yeah, and obviously, like, we're not saying, like, oh, say, like, you don't see color, because that's very problematic, yeah, and, like, if you say you don't see color, that means you don't acknowledge that someone's skin color has led to them having, like, certain experiences, and to acknowledge and recognize that people's skin color does impact them, and that's the society that we grew up in, mm-hmm, and but we really need to, like, stop, especially for women, like, focusing so much on policing what they look like, you know, mm-hmm, like, we don't stand the police in any way, like, we don't like the actual police, and don't be a police yourself. And yeah, to this day I actually hate wearing white hijabs, because, like, it makes my skin look really dark, and every time I, like, realize why I hate wearing it, it makes me so upset, because I know that that's, like, a product of, like, how I grew up, mm-hmm, and how, like, I was always trying to, like, make my skin lighter or make myself appear lighter because of what my family would tell me. Mm-hmm. And even now, like, when I wear black hijabs and stuff, like, my mom still tells me, like, you look bad in black hijabs. Like, it makes your skin look dark. You need to wear colors.
You look good in black hijabs. I like them, thanks, actually. Thanks,
Ben. Like, and you need to wear colors that, like, make you, like, look lighter or whatever. So, like, even today, like, I'm saying this as, like, we're here doing an episode, a podcast about, like, how we can be better and how we can be more, like, actively anti-racist in our communities. But, like, I'm still, like, recognizing how a lot of these, like, ideas were drilled into me from a young age, and mm-hmm, how I still have a lot of work to do myself.
Yeah. You know, like, when people started coming out, telling their stories, again, this is not just happening right now. It's been happening for so long. But I guess, maybe I'm at an age where I'm starting to, like, notice my surroundings. I get, because, you know, like, you have stages where, yeah, like, some things are just all about you, and then you start noticing your surroundings and, like, actually caring about what's going on. I was feeling really hypocritical because I was like, who am I to now start caring? But I was, or not even now start caring, or just, like, acknowledging that there's other things happening in the world, you know, like, that black people do face injustices and they don't have the same life that a white person has and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I saw this thing and it was like, something about how it's okay to admit that you were wrong and start fixing your practices. And I think that's, like, something that we all need to hear, because yeah, we have grown up with these, like, biases and, like, all this stuff, but we can still correct them, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not too late, and you're not going to be a hypocrite or whatever for, you know, starting to think a different way. Like, you can acknowledge that you were wrong and then go into the right path. But then, like, just staying in that and, you know, staying in your wrong, that's just ignorant.
Yeah. And, like, there's a quote, I think it's by Nelson Mandela, and it's, like, to paraphrase it, he's basically saying, like, no one is born, like, hating someone else for the, yeah, color of their skin. And if you can learn it, then you can unlearn it. Mm-hmm. And, like, you can unlearn, like, all of the biases. Like, all of the biases that we have are things that were taught to us. Like, you're not born thinking that having darker skin makes you inherently not as beautiful. Like, that's something that our society, our media, like we were saying, our songs, our shows, the people that we, like, quote-unquote, look up to in society teach us. So we need to, like, actively reverse them. And I think that we can we definitely also need to move our conversation into, like, not just the role of individuals, but the role of institutions,
mm-hmm,
in reversing racism, especially masjids in the Muslim community. Because again, we're not speaking on the experience of black people because we don't share those, but I've personally seen in our masjid, like, the black community is, like, so separated from
everyone else. Yeah.
And, like, people don't hang out with people of, like, different races, and we group ourselves based on, like, oh, like, Arabs and then Pakistanis and then, like, black people, and it's, like, so racist, and people are like, no, it's just, like, a language barrier, it's just that. But, like, we need to stop using that as a scapegoat for the racism that is literally in our masjid every day when we go to, yeah, pray and worship Allah.
You know what the problem is? Like, when you're young, your parents teach you to be, like, caring and share your stuff. But then you grow up and you see those same adults with their cliques. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad thing if you, let's say Rawan's my best friend. I like hanging out with Rawan. Whatever, hang out with Rawan, okay? But, like, at the same time, don't, like, totally, like, cross someone out just because of a difference that you guys have.
Yeah.
And, like, we were talking about this, about, like, the city versus rural, even like within Arabs themselves and probably within other cultures as well. And it comes again when like you're grown up and you find interest in like another individual. Like we were talking about like if a girl wants to marry a black man or if she wants to marry like a darker skinned guy, sometimes they say like they look down upon you. I've seen this thing on TikTok, okay, because I spend all my time there. But a bunch of people like come out and they're like, yeah, I married a black guy, or yeah, I married a guy from another culture. And it's like I read like the comments sometimes and they're like, how did you tell your parents? How did it work out? How did you guys get married? And it's just so sad to see that as a Muslim community, we're at that point where we're like, oh my God, like, how did you do this thing? Like, it's so far-fetched for a bunch of people because people want to stay within their same groups and they don't want to have differences. And, like, I know, like, if you have a friend that's, like, black, or if you have a friend that's, like, brown, or if you have a friend that's, like, I don't know, purple, or, like, from a different country, when you say that about, like, oh, I'm only letting my son or daughter marry from my culture, are you saying that your friends are less than you and you share secrets, you share memories, you share, like, life experiences with them, but it's like with a limit. Like,
yeah, like there's always like the extent of it. And I'm like, people love their friends of different races. Like, you claim you love everyone, like Allah tells us and like Islam tells us, and you love your friends of different cultures and different races up until your daughter wants to marry their son, or their son wants to marry your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, like, you're such different people that you can't even be friends. Like, it literally blows my mind. And again, this is an idea that's perpetuated by our masjids. Like, it's not, like, I just realized we said that, like, you're friends of different races and cultures, but a lot of times people don't even have friends of different races and cultures.
Yeah,
like,
true.
It'll be, like, Egyptians hanging out with only other Egyptians. And, like, again, that same separation even within one culture. So it's, like, how do we even expect people to be friends with someone of a different culture, let alone let their kids marry them, if we won't even, like, intermingle in the masjids with people that are different than us? Like, we need to have, like, a better understanding of the racism that exists in the world and that exists in our own masjids, and stop pretending like it's something that doesn't exist in our own communities and something that we can't play a role in reversing.
Bro, you know what? The thing is, they need to start prioritizing it. That's
yeah.
What it is. Because, of course, when someone attacks Muslims, it's like, oh, yeah, we're united, we're all Muslims. But then when they're attacking, like, a specific group, then that excitement kind of, like, fades away.
Yeah.
Or something.
And you know what? Like, I saw this thing on Instagram. It was, like, this masjid in Chicago. And
I took it with them.
Yeah, and the sheikh, like, made everyone, like, stand outside the masjid and, like, take an anti-racism pledge. And I was like, okay, the differences in institutions here is, like, really broad. And this isn't just a problem with masjids. It's a problem with universities and a problem with corporate America and workplaces and, like, everything. But we're just giving this example now because it's something we've personally experienced. But, like, that is an example of one very small thing that your masjid can do. Because even if it's not, like, something necessarily concrete, like, it's not, like, money or anything,
mm-hmm.
but it kind of perpetuates this culture that racism is not tolerated in our masjid and we're going to be watching out for whichever one of you acts racist. And, like, it's setting a culture in the masjid. Like,
exactly.
The institution of the masjid plays a huge role in shaping how Muslims in America, you know, act and how we interact with other Muslims, you know, because obviously living in a non-Muslim country, a masjid is a place of connection for many Muslims. It's, like, the only place where you can really feel like you are seeing and hearing from other Muslims. So the masjid is extremely important, especially in America and especially in non-Muslim countries, in creating this culture of anti-racism.
Mm-hmm.
And by not actively doing it, then the masjid is part of the problem.
Exactly.
Or, you know, obviously not the masjid itself, but, like, you know, whoever is, like,
running
the masjid and, like, the people. Because, again, mm-hmm. people are fallible. Like, the masjid is the house of Allah.
Yeah, exactly.
And when our masjid fundraise, like, when all masjids fundraise for, like, Arabs, like, they fundraise for Syrian refugees and Palestinian refugees, again, very important causes, like, people are whipping out their wallets and, like,
$23,000.
Yeah, and, like, hundreds of people are, like, lined up to go to these events. So the question is, like, why don't we have events and fundraisers to support the black community? Because the majority or a large portion of Muslim Americans are black. And we think that just because we're Muslims and we're a minority and we experience discrimination and Islamophobia, then it's not possible for us to be racist. But yes, it is possible for us to be racist, even towards our own black brothers and sisters. Like, just because you experience some form of hardship or discrimination doesn't mean that you can't play a part in anti-Black racism. Like, privilege exists for people who have hard lives. Like, everyone has hardship in their life. A white person who, you know, has all of these great things in life has privilege, even though they've also could have experienced hardship, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, we're not saying, like, I saw it so many times when people are trying to explain what white privilege is,
mm-hmm.
because people just started assuming, like, oh, like, you're saying my life isn't hard. No, your life is hard, but your skin tone isn't what's making it hard
exactly.
for you.
So I feel like we've talked a lot about kind of, like, the problems that we have from discrimination and racism and colorism and a lot of other things. And I feel like we all just need to, A, educate ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, everyone needs to genuinely educate yourself. Like, there are so many shows on, like, Netflix and movies and books and podcasts and everything. Like, in an age where technology is so accessible to us, there's literally no excuse for us not to know.
Yeah, it's just, like, you're opting out.
Yeah.
And also, another thing is, I think it's so important to talk to the youth. Because we're going to be the next generation, and I feel like we're going to be the generation of change and standing up to the ideas that our family members had and the older generations had. So if right now you don't see that your message is doing something, you as youth, do something about it.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a bunch of educational seminars that are online, so attend them. Encourage your friends to attend them. Tell your youth group to attend them.
And if you think about it, like, the Black community carries, like, this emotional labor of being Black and of all the, like, years and, like, hundreds of years of systemic, like, oppression and everything, like, on them every single day. So we have a lot of privilege to be able to, like, opt in and opt out of this news cycle when we feel like it. And we need to use our places of privilege to, like, take that time to educate ourselves and figure out, like, how can we best be, like, allies to the Black community. And you do that by, A, educating yourself. Like, don't put the burden on Black people to educate you. Like, they are already going through a lot, and it's not their job to be the world's, like, professors on this issue. Like, the information is online. Like, we can all learn it. And again, this is a reminder to ourselves first.
Of course, yeah.
And then to everyone else. And we also need to, like, focus, I feel like, on centering Black voices, like, in our messages, at our universities, mm-hmm. in your schools, like, talk to, you know, people around you, like, diversify your friend groups and diversify who you're talking to and really try and, like, listen to other people's needs, because that's how you're going to best find out, like, what they need. But also be careful, like, not to tokenize, like, Black people or people of color. Like, don't be like, oh, like, I'm going to bring one Black person into this conversation so they can be, like, my token insert Black person.
You know, I saw that happen a lot on social media by influencers. They were like, this person's going to come take over my platform or whatever to educate us about what's going on. And they didn't even ask that person. They were just, like, assuming, oh, they're getting the publicity, so they'll love it. But this is not about publicity. It's not about fame. It's not about just, like putting a label on yourself. Like, look what I did, so I'm not racist. It's actually putting in the work and actually caring.
Mm-hmm. But it's a fine balance. Again, it's something that we can all learn with practice. Like, how do we center their needs and their voices while also not wearing them out and tokenizing them? And again, that's something that I think we can all learn and educate ourselves on as we grow and as we, like, use and read more resources. And I just wanted to say, like, to young people that are listening, I know that a lot of times it can be really hard to, like, be the only person in your family calling out something problematic or racist, or be, like, seemingly one of the only people, like, in your community or in whatever space you're in. But I promise you, in the end, like, you're going to feel so much better about yourself for saying the truth and not pretending like it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of times in Arab culture, like, we have this idea that we need to, like, respect our elders and we need to always make them look good and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And pretend like they're infallible and, like, they don't make mistakes. But we're only harming ourselves and harming our communities by doing that. So obviously we need to maintain respect for everyone around us, like, elders, non-elders, like, everyone. But if you call out a problem, especially, like, racism and prejudice and discrimination, like, in the moment you might get backlash for it, but just know that, like, you need to do the right thing in a respectful way,
mm-hmm.
and you need to help kind of start reversing that culture in your community.
And another thing that we should all remember is that we are writing history right now, so you get to choose which side you want to be on. If you want to be arrogant and racist, then go ahead. But if you want to actually make change, go ahead. And just remember that you're going to be an example for your children, and they're going to ask you which side of history you were on. So you have responsibility and you need to fulfill it.
Yeah. And for Allah, obviously, like, you know, Allah sees everything you're doing and everything you're saying and thinking, and He sees mm-hmm. even the small conversations that you have with your friends, like,
and
on the
in
phone.
Your brain. I didn't know
yeah.
that. Pretty cool.
So, you know, be conscious of what our religion tells us. Like, our religion tells us that we need to actively be anti-racist, and it tells us that we need to be doing all of the things that society is suddenly like, wow, oh my God, it's revolutionary.
Yeah.
Like, Islam has been telling us this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to really, like, act upon our religion. Like, if nothing else, like, if nothing else is going to convince someone to actively be anti-racist and to be inclusive of all people, then think about, like, actually following what your religion is telling you to do.
It says it in the Quran multiple places. It says, like, you know, we created you to, like, get to know each other and, like, get more knowledge from the other tribes and share your differences. It says, like, no Arab man or no Arab or white man is superior over a black man. Literally, it says it because Allah knew that we would do things like this.
So we hope that this episode was helpful to anyone to kind of recognize your own prejudices. And it's better to acknowledge that you have them and to fix them than to act like, oh, you're this, like, liberal person who doesn't have them. There's no way I'm racist.
Yeah, exactly.
So we hope that this was helpful to you guys and that you can learn something from this and that you maybe related to some of our experiences.
Yeah.
And it helped you kind of feel like you're not the only one going through these things with your family or with your friends or with your communities. And yeah.
And that hopefully we can all, like, work together and put some of these things into practice so that we can create a, like, you know, a better future and, like, just be that generation of change, because I really think that we can do it and we're capable of a lot. We just need to, like, work together.
Yeah. So finally, remember to keep up with our latest updates on TikTok and YouTube. Now we will be posting the video of this, and you can also follow us on Instagram at Real Talk Real Muslims and check out our Facebook page, Real Talk Real Muslims, and our TikTok at Real Talk Real Muslims, mm-hmm. and our YouTube channel, which is also under the same name. So
and email us.
Yes, and you can email us at realtalkrealmuslims@gmail.com. And also, please remember to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It takes maybe 20 or 30 seconds for you to just leave a quick review. Let us know what you think about our podcast, and it really means a lot to us. And mm-hmm. we really take everyone's feedback and advice into consideration as we try and improve on and work upon our podcast.
And also, like, if you don't have Apple Podcasts, if you don't have, like, an Apple or an iPhone or whatever, you can, like, message us or, like, DM us what you guys think. We love hearing you guys' like, feedback, and it really does help us, just, like Rawan said, like, improve. And we just, like, really like talking to you guys, and we've actually really enjoyed connecting with you guys over DMs and just our posts recently, so we really appreciate you guys' engagement.
Yeah, so thank you guys so much for your support and for everything you've done to help our podcast grow over this past year, and we hope that inshallah, this only leads to more growth and more opportunities for all of us to build a strong community of people who recognize the things that we need to work on and work on them together in mm-hmm. a constructive and inclusive and safe environment.
That's Real Talk Real Muslims for you.
Bye.
Not from Zoom.
Not from Zoom. Yay.